All right, boys. In about an hour, we're going to talk to Albert Breer. Talked to him earlier, but just in case people didn't get to hear that, it was really good. You hear that interview at 1 o'clock. I want to ask us all, though, to step outside of ourselves, which will sound a little weird, but I'm being serious. We are... Jeff, you grew up in, I can never remember, Fairmont Heights? What's the name of the little neighborhood?
Yep, Fairmont Heights.
Okay. Right outside of Landover, right?
Right.
Okay. Toby, where'd you grow up? Northern Virginia? You a Virginia boy?
Yeah, Strasburg.
Strasburg?
Yep, out near Winchester area.
That Northern Virginia?
That's Northern Virginia.
What happened?
I mean, that's at least an hour away.
Oh, yeah. It's closer to West Virginia, but it's still Northern Virginia.
Is that considered the DMV, honestly?
No, not at all.
Okay. That I agree with. But whatever, you grew up here. Skins fan, Commanders fan, Burgundy and Gold.
Absolutely.
Okay. Jeff is currently wearing a Commanders t-shirt that undoubtedly you got for free. So I'm asking us to step outside of ourselves and just view the Topgolf draft party without Burgundy and Gold lenses, all right? Because I think for those of us that grew up here, myself, Jeff, kind of Toby, for those that approach things with a Burgundy and Gold lens, and I tweeted this out yesterday, and I'm sure I had people tell me I'm an idiot because that's what people do. But, like, Washington wanted things done differently. Now they're doing them differently. Take it, embrace it. Oh, by the way, this is how the Niners operate. Niners are pretty damn good. It's okay. And I think a lot of folks are kind of accepting that as what, just how they're going to react to news that is non-conventional. But let's step out of our Burgundy and Gold prism and just be a dude from what's a big city that doesn't have a football team. St. Louis, right? Yeah. We're just some dudes from St. Louis watching as the draft approaches, and we are interested in football. And Toby from St. Louis is greeted with, hey, man, did you see the Commanders took like 30 draft prospects to Topgolf, including the top four quarterback prospects? What'd you think of that?
Just seems odd. Wouldn't you want to meet with the quarterback prospects one-on-one? And I know you've probably already talked to them, but it just seems a little bit different. I don't know that it's wrong, but it's just not conventional by any means.
Well, conventional hadn't worked for us.
No, hold on. Now we're trying to view this through the prism of everyone else. Jeff from St. Louis, is this odd to you? What do you make of the Topgolf draft party?
It's not normal, but it's not odd. I would think if I'm bringing some guys on my team, I think it's a smart move, actually. I didn't really understand it yesterday, but if you're bringing guys on the team, especially a new team, I kind of feel like you also want to see how they interact with each other and, you know, how they act when they're not on the football team, because chemistry is a big thing on any sports team. And you could, if you don't have the chemistry off the field, it's going to show on the field. And most teams that, you know, are tight off the field, they're pretty much successful. So I think it was a smart move.
Now, all right, that's Jeff from St. Louis. You've removed all Jeff from Fairmont Heights boundaries,
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Brian from Louisiana, not Brian that played in Washington and raised his family in Washington and has a Super Bowl ring and a ring of honor and all that stuff. Brian from Louisiana. Hey, man, did you hear the Commanders, rather than hosted a bunch of individual visits, took a bunch of these dudes to Topgolf and then had some meetings with them afterwards? What do you think of that, man?
Seems a little different, but, you know, if you're going to be working with other players on the team, I think I would like to see how they interact with other people. Then again, I know a guy that brought some guys in, and he saw exactly who were the leaders and who weren't, and he brought all those top-level people together. So I would say good move. Not necessarily conventional, but, hell, what's been happening for him before?
Sure. So now we remove JP from Bethesda, and I'm just a dude in the world, and I'm acutely aware that of the quarterbacks that they're seriously considering, they've already met with all of them. They've had dinner with all of them. They've gone to their pro days. They watch them at the combine. They've watched all of their tape backwards and forwards. They've had Zooms with them. So I don't think they lack interaction specifically with the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are where you're going at two. The guys after that, depending how draft boards shake out, it's entirely possible they'll get to 36, and the top two people they're considering, they never had in because they never thought they'd be there. Like, as the draft shakes out, it's pretty hard to figure out who you're going to go after. Somewhere in my brain is a I have a journalism degree, right? And I like to think about all the angles and what the things that people aren't asking, and I tend to be skeptical of a lot of things. I have a natural bent towards skepticism. And the thing I can't help but keeps coming to mind, by having all these dudes there yesterday and today, they can't be anywhere else. And so if you're the Giants or the Vikings or the Raiders, that's not to say you didn't already have meetings with Penix or McCarthy or something, but what if you wanted them there the last day? What if you'd rather have your last meeting with the quarterback you're considering trading up to go get? And now you can't because they're at a Topgolf draft party in Ashburn, Virginia.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't help but think some of that's not slightly advantageous. And I think you've got an organization now that is really trying to think of everything. I think, what do we know of previous number two picks? Because there's been two of them in the last 10 years here in D.C. In the last 12 years, rather. The whole world knew it was Chase. And that was a Ron operation, perhaps. But the Robert year, and the Shanahans can try to rewrite history all they want.
They knew.
There was a festival of Robert Griffin III for 2 months.
Yeah.
Ever since they made that trade to draft night. Go watch the video Mitch Tischler shot of Mike Shanahan at RG3's Pro Day. And the whole world knows they were in love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this group is operating very, very differently. I don't know that it's going to be Jaden Daniels. Anybody that tells you that they know is lying. Seems like it. Seems like it. I'm not walking away from that, but I don't know it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's on purpose. And maybe it's all for naught. Like, maybe there's no actual gain because I don't think they're trading the pick. I don't think they're trading the pick because I don't think you can go far enough back and guarantee you get McCarthy and... Like, I don't think you can get past five and still get McCarthy, and you need a quarterback, dude. And at some point, don't try to – what's the phrase in hearts? I think it's called shoot the moon. What do they call it in spades? When you try to make the game-winning play, but it's really hard to pull off.
Run a boss?
Maybe. Like in poker, it'd be like waiting for an inside straight or something. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, it's possible, but it's really hard to accomplish. And if you do trade back to four because you feel like you can get McCarthy there, it just take somebody at two. And I think that's the direction.
Could we just be overthinking this thing? And that's a part of the plan as well, where let's be real, man. When we talked about it yesterday, I mentioned that when you get a bunch of leaders together, the real leaders stand up, okay? They don't care that everybody's supposed to be the big dog or whatever. They're going to start just taking control. Is that what they really want to see? Do they want to see who's going to fold or who's going to, you know, go and prosper in that situation? It can be that simple. Or they just said, look, let's just get everybody in here, get one last look at the people. We may have missed something. We may get it. They're not concerned about what the other teams want. Because I tell you what other teams are thinking right now. Hell, Washington can't take every one of them. You know what I'm saying? And they hear rumors, and they got people, their friends all over this NFL. So they may know something already. What if somebody had called JJ or May and say, hey, they taking Drake. We moving up to third. We're going to take you. We want to fly you in right now. You think they wouldn't leave here? They're leaving a heartbeat. So what they've done I think it's a great gesture to show people, like, you know, hey, we still care. We wanted to bring everybody in to get that last look, because they're going to be guys in the league for the next 5 to 10 years, we hope. And what if they become free agents and they say, man, Washington was always cool. I might go try. I want to go there. So all that stuff could be there.
I think it is unconventional. It is a little weird, but that in no way means it won't work or that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of things can be true at once. What is definitively true, listen to this. I just saw this on Pro Football Talk, and I don't know what the hell to make of this. I'm curious what you think, B. Obviously, where Drake May goes is one of the biggest questions in the draft, right? And not just the number, but what team.
Yeah.
DraftKings, apparently. So the way betting on the draft works, and what's going to be really interesting is the first couple years with legalized sports betting in, you know, 10, 20, 30. How many states is it in now, Toby? Look that up. I think it's in like 36 states now.
38, right?
Something like that. Yeah, because North Carolina just came on board. But the first couple years, draft betting, the betting sites got hammered because they didn't kind of set low enough odds and limits. What do you got, Toby?
38.
38 states. But I think what we've seen over time, you know what these betting sites are really good at? Making money.
Yeah.
And when they see inefficiencies, they crack down on them. DraftKings has taken Drake May team-specific bets off the board.
Why?
So you can still get May to go at number 2, number 3, number 5, number 4, but you can no longer get May to the Giants or May to the Vikings. Mm. So I'm reading now for PFT. May is currently plus 220 to go second overall. Jaden Daniels is the favorite at minus 290. Anytime somebody tells you about the odds for Drake May or J.J. McCarthy at number 2 overall to the Commanders, ask to be reminded of Daniels' odds because he's the overwhelming favorite. Mm-hmm. Now, plus 220 sounds pretty good, but not when somebody else is minus 290, rather.
Yeah.
May is the favorite to go third at minus 145. He's also the favorite to go fifth at minus 2,000. The last one suggests that bettors see a team like the Vikings trading up to number 5 to get May. Wagers aren't currently being taken by DraftKings as to the specific team that will draft May. Apparently, that move flows from concerns that the volatility of the market coupled with the possibility of inside information could make DraftKings vulnerable to big losses. Now, Florio's great at what he does, but he often takes a piece of information and extrapolates that a very far place. So let's just allow for that caveat. I continue to read here. Inside information is and should be a major concern regarding wagers of this nature. Really, any bet that has nothing to do with what happens on the field opens the door to the dissemination and utilization of inside information. That happened at the Super Bowl with the color of Gatorade dumped on Chiefs coach Andy Reid. It's one of the biggest potential problems when it comes to legalized gambling, and it's one of the ways that the NFL can stumble into a major betting scandal. DraftKings sees potential for it. Otherwise, it would have no reason to not take bets on where May might go. I'm not sure I agree with all that. I think that's too far of an extrapolation, because it's also possible that somebody within the DraftKings community is like, yo, I think it's the Giants. I think we should pull this down or whatever. It does add an interesting wrinkle with the amount of betting on the draft as you get closer and closer and you watch where these odds go.
Oh, yeah.
But what these betting companies have also done, they've started to set further and further limits on it.
Want to limit their liability.
Oh, speaking of gambling.
Hey.
Breaking news from the NBA.
That dude's gone.
The NBA has given Jontay Porter a lifetime ban for violating the league's gambling rules. The NBA says he disclosed confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes. Yo, that is throwing games, dude.
I don't know how he's throwing games, but he was sure swaying the bet, because I don't know if he was that good to sway a game.
Well, did you hear exactly what it was? It was something where the most made money was on Jontay Porter, who you've probably never heard of. Prop bets.
Before,
and he would be like, say, like over under 8.5 points. He'd score 6, and he'd be like, man, I'm not feeling well. And he'd check himself out for the rest of the game.
Yeah. And he bet on, on himself.
He's not, but he bet on himself to go under.
Yeah.
You bet on yourself to go over. I kind of don't hate it. I understand you can't have that. But because his contribution to the game is minimal, you're right that he's not throwing the games. But he's doing everything he can to throw the game.
Yeah. He's just doing everything he can to win his bet.
To throw the action. He's doing everything he can to score under 6 points or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. that is, even if you go to Pete Rose, and I'm not sure I believe that he never bet against his team or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, the claim was, I always bet on my team to win. Like, the motivation is there to win.
The question is, does the gambling sites go after Porter?
I think they have to try to
get their money back.
I don't know.
He probably made more money gambling like that than he did when he was playing.
He wasn't making a ton of money.
Yeah, he's making like $400,000.
And that, on a two-way, I think it's only when you get called up. Mm-hmm. I think that on a two-way, you only make the big money when you're up. He's got to be banned for life. There's no way around it. It's awkward that Michael Porter's his brother. Yeah. Is Porter still in the Nuggets? Like, I know in the title run, he was a pretty big.
And he's good.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm sure everybody will say, no big deal. We're on to Cincinnati. But that is,
Hey. I saw that.
Song's a little intense for me, Jeff. I'm not going to lie to you. Kerwin's somewhere headbanging. Now, I want to be clear. Jeff has done a great job all week running the board, running the program, sitting in Lamphill's seat. He's done great. Toby's done a great job of impersonating Jeff, falling asleep, walking away all the time. But it was kind of bizarre that Jeff played Ben White's music yesterday, and then Ben White just came in and he played that incredible death metal, heavy metal cover of Unleash the Fury. Yeah. But hey.
That's not Ben's music.
But listen, man, it's a crazy world, and it's Caps week,
so we're good with it. Crazy matches him.
Ben, Mr. Economy Ben, how do you do, sir?
Oh, I do very well. Thanks so much for having me. Sorry to miss you guys last week.
All good, brother. Are you ready for the draft just to start? Like, as somebody that cares about the Commanders Redskins but doesn't love all the non-football nonsense that always accompanies it, what do you make of the last couple months?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely ready for it. And, I mean, I'm just kind of blown away by the number of picks we have available. Certainly the second pick, obviously, which I continue to hope is Jaden Daniels and think probably will be. But there are just, a lot of picks available and a lot of needs. Offensive tackle probably being the second most important after drafting a quarterback at number two. I don't know what they'll do with the rest of the picks, but the team has a lot of draft capital, a lot of cap space, and new coach, new owner. So I'm actually really interested in this draft, and I would like to get it done. And we're finally coming up on it, so that's good. But it's been a long time coming.
Did you see that for the official visits of the quarterbacks, they brought everybody in at once and went to Topgolf?
I did not see that, but I'm glad they did that. That probably was a pretty fun night.
Different strategy, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But I appreciate the fact that they're keeping it close to the vest and have invested a lot of time and resources, energy into figuring out how to use that second pick. Because as you guys know, we don't have a great track record drafting quarterbacks the last few times.
We got new people now, Ben. We got to stop.
We got to get off of the mindset of that
stuff that was here.
I believe me, I'm with you, but you feel the weight of history, you know, under this. And but I'm super hopeful. Like, I like the direction the team is going, and I like the number of picks they have, and I like the coach and the owner, and all of the signs point to good things happening. And I, you know, hopefully we get you know, a Stroud, somebody who's like going to be a frontline, you know, excellent starter from the get-go.
Flip everything upside down right away. Talking with our boy Ben White, Economy Ben. You see him on MSNBC. You can follow him at Economy Ben on both Twitter, X, and Instagram. I am going to give you an opportunity before we go to a perhaps problematic, you know, reoccurrence. But I'm going to let you gloat about your Yankees. You get 30 seconds. They've been playing pretty good baseball. Now, my Orioles are coming. Watch out. But how much are you enjoying what Juan Soto's doing and what the Yanks are doing early?
Hey, listen, 30 seconds, I won't take up probably even all that. I'm enjoying it. You know, they've actually lost three straight for the first time this year, and the Orioles are coming right up behind them and have a great club. There's no question about it. The young talent that's there is evident. I think this Yankee team, you know, led by Soto, is a very, very good team. Will get better as the year goes on. I think Aaron Judge will get better. There are a couple other players that, you know, haven't hit that much yet, and, you know, we'll get some top flight pitching back a little bit later, and probably pick up a couple of arms and maybe a bat before the trade deadline. And I think it'll be a good race between the O's and the Yanks for the AL East title. I think they'll both get into the playoffs, and we'll see where they go from there. But it has been a pleasure to see them start the season really well. But then you get used to winning, and then they lose a couple, and you're like, oh, man, you know, the doors are falling off. But it's just three games. So yeah.
Well, it's a guy that constantly goes for him and gloats about him. I think it's all because of Jeff, because he's like the cooler. Whatever is hot, if he comes around, it gets ice cold.
That is true. Take your beef up with Jeff.
No doubt.
And then last sports one, because we got a lot to talk about. The you watch the Caps? Have you been excited? They're going to the playoffs. They're playing the Rangers. I imagine a lot of New Yorkers will kind of chirp you during that series.
Yeah, they probably will. And I'm honestly just kind of tuning into it now, because I kind of tuned them out for a while, the Caps, because
a lot of people
did look playoff bound. Yeah, but now I'm going to jump back on, and playoff hockey is one of my favorite things in the world. I've been to many Caps playoffs games, and playing the Rangers, who are a very, very good team, and I imagine would be heavily favored over the Caps. But it would be wonderful to see them, you know, win and move on. So I'm definitely going to tune into that, and I'm sure I'll get into some chirping with Ranger fans on X and elsewhere. You know, I have a bunch of Ranger friends who are very close friends of mine. So there will be some rivalry stuff, but it, you know, it's great. I'm really pleased they're in the playoffs, because just getting the opportunity to watch playoff hockey is always really fun. And maybe I'll get to the Garden for a game.
Just block all their calls until the end of the series.
Maybe till like the end of May.
Block them all on social for the
I don't talk
end
to
of
some
it.
Of my friends when it comes up. When certain games
come
up.
Oh, is that right?
They text me. I never call them back after the game. I say, oh, man, I just saw your stuff. I didn't see it before.
Smart.
That is smart. I'm psyched for them.
You're good, dude. Talking with our buddy Ben White. You see him on CNBC all the time. I've read his work all over the place. New York Times, Politico, Washington Post. Let's get to what you do best, the money world. I think everybody was hoping for these rates to come down. It doesn't seem like they're going to now. Inflation is higher than we expected. I read this article in The Atlantic that really did a good job of explaining how inflation hits like the bottom 50% of the country that are living more paycheck to paycheck. I notice it at the grocery store, but it doesn't necessarily limit my life. But a lot of people, it does.
Yep.
What the hell's going on? Why is this such a persistent issue? How can it ever change?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. And that Atlantic article was very good. You know, inflation is most troubling to people who, you know, spend most of their paychecks every month on, you know, the basics, and have not seen it, you know, get back down to 2%, which is where the Fed would like to see it. But you know, the flip side of that equation is that the economy overall is strong and stronger than we thought it was going to be. Retail sales came out pretty strongly. The last jobs report was strong. It looks like first quarter GDP growth, you know, the measure of how the economy is doing overall, could come in close to 3%, which is solid. You know, it would be wonderful if inflation were also getting back to where the Fed wanted it to be, which is 2% annual rate. It's not there yet. It's still, you know, 3, and there's still a lot of demand in the economy. So the Fed's not going to be able to cut rates possibly for the entire year. You know, we all talked about maybe they'd cut in the spring and then the summer, and now I think the consensus among economists is late in the year, if at all. But the reason that they can't do that is because the economy is doing pretty well. So, and we're not at 9% inflation, which we were in 2022. We're at, you know, between 3 and 2%, which is not ideal, but not horrible. So, you know, we could be in a lot worse scenarios than we are right now. I mean, we have a strong, solid, growing economy with job creation and economic growth and retail sales, consumer spending still strong. It just means that the Fed can't cut rates and goose it a little bit more. I mean, they will eventually be able to do that, but they can't do it right now.
So you think we're looking... The other thing the article said is they can't do it immediately surrounding an election. So it's like, right? Like, because then it's just too political or something. So
yeah, well,
if we don't get like, you know, that's a July, then we might not get till December kind of thing.
Yeah, there's conventional wisdom that the Fed does not like to move in any significant way close to an election, but that all gets thrown out the window if they feel like conditions merit making a move. I think it, generally speaking, if it's a close call about cutting rates or not cutting rates and leaving them where they are, the election has an impact on just making no decisions. But there's plenty of examples throughout history where the Fed has moved close to an election cycle, you know, if the economy requires it. The point right now is that it probably doesn't. You know, they can stay where they are and hope that growth continues to be strong and inflation, you know, at least stays sort of where it is and trends more towards 2%. And if they can get out of the way and not do anything close to an election, they will do that. And that feels at this moment like where we are, that they can, you know, stand pat for a while and not make any moves and wait until the election is over, which is my guess for what they'll do, and just stay put where they are now and make moves next year.
We know a lot of people out there, and they got price gouging going on and everything else. Yeah. It's moving now to the tax people. In Virginia right now,
F these tax people.
Every damn body, you know, Prince William's County, Fairfax County, Everybody's now coming up with all these strange, want to just raise taxes, saying, well, you know, it's a troubling time. Well, the people that you raise the taxes on, they're having a troubling time too, fools.
Yeah, no, I listen to you, Mitch. I'm with you, and it happens, you know, in any growing economy like this. States like Virginia want to generate more revenue and will tax everything they possibly can.
They already tax every damn thing.
Yeah, I pay double
tax on everything I buy. Basically, you buy a car, and you got to pay personal property tax the whole damn every year.
And you have to pay higher prices based on inflation. And it does make a difference. I mean, it pinches people if, you know, they are subject to inflation, higher costs for, you know, buying a car, financing their credit cards, financing anything, and then facing higher tax rates. It's tough on people. And people are understandably frustrated by that. And I'm generally a proponent of, you know, lower taxes and less regulation and higher growth as good things, you know, but you know, they got to pay for, you know, the new stadium or whatever it is, the thing for the Caps of the Wizards, right? So they got to get a bunch of taxes to pay for that.
Yeah,
it is crazy. early bleep you for Bleep You Thursday. Bleep you to the tax man. Ben,
yeah,
but thank you for joining us as always, dude.
Of course.
We appreciate it. Well, you keep tabs on the world so we can keep tabs on football. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the week, good weekend, and enjoy the draft.
Sounds good, brother. That's our guy.
All right.
Ben White. Coming up at 1 o'clock, you will hear from Albert Breer on the Commanders' draft plans. When we come back, I got to read something Jalen Hurts said, and we might have Ron Rivera audio. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, let's get it. Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Tired of those lackluster cooling systems? Well, it's time to switch to Rude and feel the difference. Thanks to the IRA Act, you can score up to $2,000 in tax credits on select heat pump systems. And Maryland residents, there's exclusive rebates from Rude just for you. Personally, I've upgraded to 3 Rude 18-series inverter heat pumps to stay cool at my house. Rude keeps me comfortable, whether I'm chilling at home or hosting game day parties. So beat the heat this season and visit Rude.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. Remember, if it ain't Rude, it ain't right.
Jeffrey. Keep them guessing, brah. Keep them guessing. Now we're playing Ben White's walk-up music. 10 minutes you'll hear from Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated. Had a great conversation about the NFL draft and Brandon Ayuk, a name many care about. There's two things I want to do quickly because we also we have another major guest at 1:30 that I frankly I didn't think we'd be able to pull off this week.
I know, man. Big guest.
So I want to get to two things real quick. We're gonna this dude. We'll get to him in a second. I'm going to start with this. The Eagles have done some media availability in the last couple days. Devontae Smith just signed his new deal. This was from Dave Zangaro, friend of the program. Dave does a great job covering the Eagles for NBC Sports Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Being up there, I got to see their pre and post for the Flyers game. Those studios are dope, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Jalen Hurts talking about the turnover on the offensive coaching staff since he's been with the Eagles. I think as a player, I definitely yearn for the sustainability and the consistency there. As a quarterback, I yearn for those things in a play caller and a quarterback coach because you kind of see how consistency in those areas can breed excellence, and the track record shows that. That's definitely something that I desire. I find myself in a situation very similar to college in terms of having a constantly revolving thing and door in terms of coordinators and coaches. Mm-hmm. But I've always managed to have success in it, so that's a good thing because you've been able to learn from people and apply it and take what applies to you. But in the end, I think that is important. We are where we are, but some of those things are surface level in terms of what we can accomplish. I definitely do desire that consistency. When you go win, they're probably going to leave. That's just how it goes.
Totally.
I present this as Exhibit A of the, oh, you can only hire offensive coaches to foster offensive continuity. Like, teams that are good, the offensive coaches get plucked off.
They're going to get plucked off all the time.
And this is Jalen Hurts, a guy that went to a Super Bowl 2 years ago, went to the playoffs last year. Clearly, something got broken there. I'm not sure what it is. I also kind of think these comments don't exactly sing praises for Nick Sirianni, but I just – people got to be reminded. And luckily, Washington's out of that, and ideally there's not a coaching search for some time. But when you only see the world through one prism that you can only hire offensive coaches because you don't want to lose staff members – if you're good, you lose staff members no matter what. All right. That was the one thing I wanted to do. This is the second. I want to credit my guy. This dude, again, I don't know how or what he's doing. Capital Paparazzi at Brandon Todd, D.C. It appears that he just hangs out at Dulles and like, get every sort of famous person walking around, he talks to him. He got video of J.J. McCarthy and Drake May headed to the airport in an Uber. And perhaps more interestingly, he actually talked to Ron Rivera. This is Capital Paparazzi interviewing Rivera at Dulles.
Coach Ron, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, I just got to ask you. So, Jaden Daniels came through yesterday.
Oh, right on.
Coach, the new coach, Quinn, and the GM, Peters,
right.
They picked him up.
Okay.
So, everybody else, May and others were picked up in a generic SUV.
Okay.
Do you think that speaks any volume that he may or may not be the pick?
Not necessarily. Be careful, you're gonna hit a sign right there. Not necessarily.
I mean, in the era when you were there, is that something that you guys would do, or
Well, I mean, it just depends on your availability too.
Because I posted that on Twitter yesterday. Right. It has almost 500,000 views.
Yeah, but it just depends on their availability. They could have been traveling. They could have been somewhere else, and it just so happens. Maybe they were.
So
available.
You think that means absolutely nothing?
I wouldn't look into anything.
All right, Coach. Thank you.
Right. I'm gonna just say this. Dude got everybody. He been running back and forth because that breathing right there tells you the story. He was tired, you know. But hey, man, sometimes you find out. Look, these guys find out all kind of things, man. When something is flying, when somebody going through, and that.
I saw the same guy on Twitter. He kind of like creeped Michael Penix out because he was just recording him, and Mike was just walking, but he was looking like.
I expected, like, what the hell are you doing,
dude? What are
you doing?
That's what the look was.
The thing of it is, like.
I think he's lucky Ron was so polite.
Yeah, but, like, listen, bro. I understand that you want to do some things. But ask somebody a question sometimes. Like, do you mind if I? You know, because you.
Always ask
just like,
first.
Just like Stallion with his dumb ass. Trying to take a picture of a guy in a dim light bar. And the flash goes off. If you had probably said, can I get a picture with you? He'd probably say yes. But then you take the picture like you're so cool and the flash goes off. I'm sitting at the bar. The guy was filming. And I'm like, dude, all you have to do is ask me.
Right.
Then he turns it off. So now I'm staring at him the whole day like you won't get the rest of it. You know what I mean? So it's like, come on. I always thought if I'm on the phone with you, I got to say, can I record you?
Right.
I always thought if I took a picture of you, I had to ask to do it. Why the hell are people allowed to do this now?
Well, you know what's funny is I think this is so commonplace in New York and L.A., and I think it's so commonplace for celebrities, but I think, and yo, this dude has clearly carved out a niche, and obviously it's legal. He's doing it at Dulles where there's a billion cops and security people
walking
around.
Is it legal or just people don't complain about it? And I think, let's be real.
I don't know. That's a fair.
Authorities today, they will tell you straight up, don't call us about that because it's not serious enough. If you have a fender bender, what they say, y'all need to exchange insurance cards, they won't even show up to some things. So is it illegal or not?
That's a fair question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought Ron handled that great. I think Ron is right. This could all be a smokescreen. I just think it's amazing that I am sure when senators and Congress people and Supreme Court justices, whoever, like go out for dinner in the city, that there are like there's some level of political paparazzi following them around. I just think it's hysterical that my man is working Dulles and just getting videos of everybody.
I want
now's the right time for it.
If you listen to us, can we see how many steps you have today? Because I know he's running back and forth if he got to try to find everybody.
Well, my guess is Ron is just flying to or from California or something. Wherever he's going. It's interesting. The dude does have the video, like I'm looking at it, of Drake May and J.J. McCarthy sharing an Uber to the airport.
What if Drake May basically just said, hey, we'll ride together? And it's like,
I think we're reading too much into some of this.
Yeah, I think we are. I just think that what it is, if I'm
people got mad at me when I said, yo, Mariota might mean something for the quarterback, yeah. And now we're reading a lot into who's sharing Ubers to the airport.
Like, if I was sitting there, let's say I came into it and it was somebody I was cool with, I'm like, yo, man, let's go to the airport together.
Albert Breer joins the program next.